If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Azam, ghayru din Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Sheikh Javid, I would like to ask you a very interesting question. There is a mother who has aborted her 7-month-old child, the illegitimately conceived fetus, at the request of, the father, her father, the child's father. Should blood money be paid in this case? Assuming that it is a must to pay the blood money, who should pay it, first of all? All right. In other words, the mother or the father should pay the blood money. How much is the blood money nowadays, according to Ayatollah Khamenei? Would you enlighten us about this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I would like to say that no matter whether the child is legitimate or illegitimate by birth, a conceived fetus cannot be aborted at the request of anyone, be it the father or anyone else. It is haram to abort the fetus even if, for example, the child was conceived due to adultery, adultery is the biggest sin in itself, and it's the it's kind of in unforgivable sin if the wife or the woman does not repent, because the woman is already married and she has commits adultery with another man. So it's a grave sin, of course. But even then, the conceived child cannot be aborted. Now, the request of the father does not justify the action, and the woman should
raise the child.
Yeah, should raise the child.
Yes.
And if she, in the event that she has abortion and the fetus is terminated, the woman who is supposedly involved in the abortion should bear the blood money, and because she is responsible for the abortion. And of course, when it comes to the amount of the blood money, and this is one of the frequently asked questions.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So you see, the amount of the blood money, you know, differs from stage to stage, and from one stage of pregnancy to another stage of pregnancy. Now, for example, if it is like a clot-like structure, this is one stage, and if it is like a flesh-like structure, this is another stage. Now, when it comes to the first one, the mother should give 40 dinars, 40 dinars, okay? And if it's the second stage, the mother should give 60 dinars, And the higher the stage, the more the blood money, In the event that, for example, it is in the stage of flesh without bones, of course, the mother should give 80 dinars, And of course, as I said in one of the previous episodes, the blood money should be paid to the inheritors of the fetus, to the heirs of their fetus, taking into consideration the classes of inheritors, because there are classes, there are categories or groups of heirs. For example, as long as the father is there, the inheritance cannot be given to the grandfather or to the grandchildren. So all those who are in the first level, as long as one person is alive, the inheritance or the blood money should be given to that person. And if there's no one in that first group, then the inheritance is given to the people in the second group, of course. So,
and if the father forces her actually to abort the child, then how much? And who should pay? The father, obviously, right?
Yeah, coercion is one thing, you know. Maybe the father, usually we see that the father sometimes, because of some, reasons, whatever, yes, is worried about the child and does not want the wife to be pregnant.
The unwanted child,
yes. Yeah. So he might want the wife to get to terminate the pregnancy.
Yes.
That is not a valid reason for the wife to take action for abortion.
Mm.
And of course, as long as the wife can choose not to abort, if she ever takes action for abortion, then she is guilty. She is the one who is directly involved. Maybe there many other people might not want the child, you know, because there are other family members. They do not want the child, that the mother to be pregnant. Okay, if for some reasons like this, the mother goes to the doctor and asks the doctor to abort the child. In that case, it is the doctor who is responsible, because generally speaking, it is the doctor who is directly involved in the abortion, because he carries out the maybe a surgical operation, or maybe he gives a pill to the mother and tells her to take the pill. Now, the doctor can be involved directly. And of course, the parents, the mother and the father, they can forgive, they can forego their rights, and they can exempt him of the blood money.
I see.
And they can choose to do all
okay,
of these actions.
Okay, I have a little interesting question that I would like to ask you, but after a short break.
Sure.
Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Joyed, our guest speaker in this program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are still talking about some of the Islamic laws around the subject of medical issues. I asked you a question before the break, Sheikh Joyed, regarding the blood money and the abortion of the unwanted child, in other words, illegitimately conceived fetus. All right. What if that was my question I would like to ask you before the break, but unfortunately, due to the shortage of time, I couldn't ask that before the break. So here it is. You know, if the father coerced or forced the mother to have an abortion of this fetus, then who should pay the money? The father? And then who should he pay the blood money to?
The blood money should be paid to the immediate heir, to the immediate inheritors. The closer the inheritors to the fetus,
yes,
the entitled they are, you know, the more entitled they are. I want to say that this is a very important point to
yes.
note. That the person who is involved, like for example, the father is involved in the abortion, or maybe the mother is involved, they are also the heirs, but they cannot receive
any money,
a portion from the blood money. Now maybe the mother gives the blood money to the mother gives the blood money to the father. The father was directly involved in the abortion. That father, who is a killer actually, is not entitled, because the killing relative. Now, if, for example, in the actual world, if a son kills his father, the son cannot receive any share from the inheritance or from the wealth and property of his father, because he has killed his father.
I see.
Okay? But his brothers and other relatives, other siblings, of course, they do receive. So, I said, there are people in the first group, and those are the ones, if they are not involved in the abortion, they are the ones who receive the blood money. The blood money is the inheritance. It is, because it's a kind of asset, it's a property belonging to the fetus. So that property should be divided according to Islamic Sharia among the heirs, okay, with the female child receiving half of the portion of the male child.
I see. And a very quick question here. You talked about the amount of the blood money, and you said that it is determined by the various stage where the fetus is,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
So how much money is the blood money for deliberately aborting a fetus, for example, of a 2.5 months, and to whom it should pay. Of course, you said that the first degree inheritors, right?
Yes.
On condition that the parents are not the killers, for
yes,
example.
You're right.
So they don't receive any or inherit anything from the blood money. But what about deliberately aborting?
Sure.
And does it make a difference whether there is a soul or the presence, we are talking about the presence or absence of soul in the fetus?
Of course it does, you know. First of all, I would like to say that a two-month-old fetus is not alive because
there isn't any soul in
there. Yeah, there isn't soul in there. And of course, a child at the fourth month of pregnancy, a fetus in its fourth month of development receives the soul, and actually it becomes alive. It turns into a living thing. Okay.
Yes. About four months.
Yeah. About 4 months. Yes.
Yes.
So, let's say that, because you just said that if the abortion takes place deliberately, now if I just want to say that if it is a clot-like structure, the amount of blood money is 40 dinars. This is 40 dinars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if it is a flesh-like structure, it becomes 60 dinars. But when the fetus enters into the stage of a bone, but without the flesh, the blood money is 80 dinars. The blood money should be paid to the inheritors of the fetus, taking into consideration the classes of the inheritors.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, the father, if the father is involved in the abortion, he will not receive any share from the from the blood money. The blood money is the property, it is the inheritance, and it should be divided among the legal heirs, with the male heir receiving double the share of the female heir.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers. And thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الظاهر والباطن.